This is The Conversation, the program that puts women's voices first. Each week we hear from two women from different countries who have something in common. I'm Kim Chakanetsa. Welcome. For decades, veganism was considered a fringe movement. Excluding meat, dairy, and all other animal-derived ingredients seemed a niche lifestyle choice. But in the past few years, it has moved right out of the margins of counterculture and into the mainstream, fueled by a growing consensus that eating less meat is better for us and for the planet. Social media has become saturated with vividly coloured bowls of vegan fare. But I also noticed for every article raving about the benefits of veganism was another strain of article with titles like, "Why does veganism make people angry?" Well, my guests are two vegans who I'm sure have read, heard and seen it all. Celine Nelson is a British freelance journalist and author of Yes Vegan, a blueprint for vegan living. Celine, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Ichua Iyoha is the creator of Eat Right Niger, a website she set up after transitioning to a vegan diet. It provides vegan recipes and health and wellness tips. Ichua lives in Nigeria. Ichua, welcome. Now, veganism seems to ignite a particular type of rage in some meat eaters, judging from the conversations online. Celine, why is that?
I think a lot of people just see vegans as extreme, and I did as well a couple of years ago. And I think a lot of that is because we actually are completely unaware of the reality of the dairy and egg industries. So even if people eat meat, they kind of understand why people might be vegetarian, because the fact that an animal lost their life is pretty overt in the meat industry. But our culture has been conditioned not to question the things we do for animals in the name of food. So when people are saying these industries are cruel, we shouldn't do it, first of all, we're not aware of it. And secondly, it can be really unsettling to start thinking about something we've done all our lives is unnecessary or even worse, cruel. So we push back against it. And it's easier to laugh than it is to listen because it's so, I think, jarring for a lot of people.
Itua, do you think people are interpreting your choice not to eat meat, dairy or eggs as a condemnation of their own choices?
Definitely, definitely. And I think it's really just about how people tend to see you as putting yourself on a higher moral ground than they are. And that presents your choice in a way that looks like you're attacking theirs. Right. So they tend to feel like, oh, you think you're better than me because you're not eating meat. That means I need to defend my choice, which is why sometimes I actually don't even admit that I'm vegan in some circles, because it tends to turn into an argument sometimes when people get very aggressive in their defense of their choices to eat meat.
OK. Like, how aggressive? What are people saying to you, Itua?
There are some times when people, they start to make ad hominem attacks. So they say, oh, you've decided not to eat meat, but I can see you're carrying a leather bag. Why do you think it's okay to carry a leather bag but not eat meat? You're no better than I am. Mm. But then I point out that it's not actually leather, and then they don't know what to respond to that. So it's just easier sometimes to steer the conversation away from the fact that I'm vegan. But in situations where I think it's useful, I will tell people that I'm vegan and then have a more moderate conversation.
So Ichua, can I just check with you? So for you, is it about not just the diet, but the whole ideology? So you don't wear leather at all?
I don't wear leather or wool or silk. So it's really an ideology and a lifestyle choice for me, mm-hmm. and not just a diet.
And Celine, for you?
It's the same. I'm an ethical vegan, which is mainly about animals. And then the more I read, the more I learned about the health benefits and the environmental benefits. But the actual term veganism actually means a way of living that chooses to, as far as is practical and possible, avoid all forms of cruelty to and exploitation of animals. So just the definition is actually about animals. But nowadays, obviously, it's become synonymous with the environment and health as well.
Well, let's talk about misconceptions, because I think they are many. What are the most bizarre misconceptions that people have about veganism, Celine?
I think just, yeah, in general, that we are all militant, aggressive. And yeah, I completely agree. I often just try not to mention it. I would never dream of going up to someone and volunteering my opinion and saying what you're eating is cruel. And yet, you know, often I am forced to defend myself regularly. And yeah, there's this idea that you're extreme and kind of unbalanced, obsessive, protein deficient. There's so many. And I kind of did think that a little bit myself as well.
Itua, what are some of the misconceptions that you've come across?
I would agree with Celine. That's definitely something I've come across as well. And then also in Nigeria, there's this perception that if you do not eat meat, then it's because you can't afford it. So people tend to look at me with pity sometimes, thinking she can't afford to buy food with meat. That's why she's vegetarian or she's vegan. And then some people also assume that you might be sick. So someone has actually asked me before, is there something wrong? Are you ill? Because there's the assumption that you're avoiding meat because maybe you're recovering from a serious illness. So you have people walking around with the assumption that you're poor, ill, and just generally unfortunate because you're not eating meat.
But Itua, just give us some context, because in Nigeria, meat is very central to the diet in terms of that it represents wealth. Paint us a picture of how central it is to the diet.
So I think if we just go back a little bit, in general, in Nigerian society, the mass market, I guess, is very large, probably between 60 and 80% of the population. The middle class is quite small. So with the middle class and the higher income parts of the population, that's where meat eating is the norm. Mm-hmm. So people will have maybe corned beef as part of their breakfast. For lunch, they'll have two pieces of chicken. And then for dinner, they'll have a combination of beef and fish, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And then with the rest of the population, like the average Nigerian, that's what they aspire to as soon as they get a better job and they earn a little bit more money. That's the kind of diet that they immediately start to aspire to have. Mm-hmm. So you'll see that in Nigeria these days, there's more fast food restaurants, and those are the places where people will go to have a Sunday lunch. And all they want to do is have three pieces of chicken for lunch, because that's like a treat. That's what signifies good living. It signifies comfort and prestige. So a lot of things are attached to it.
Yeah, I think there's a very similar picture across the continent. Now, Celine, prior to becoming a vegan, what sort of diet did you have?
Well, I was already vegetarian before I went vegan, and before that I was pescatarian, so I did do it in stages. But for most of my 20s, until I was 28, I think I was just vegetarian, and I thought that was enough because I was an animal lover, which was why I decided I couldn't eat animals anymore, and then fish as well. But I ate a lot of cheese, and I felt kind of fine about that because I wasn't eating animals. So yeah, my egg intake was pretty high. I ate cheese obscene amounts of it, to be honest.
How serious a cheese lover were you? Like, how extreme would you take your love for cheese?
I mean, pretty extreme. I packed it when I went on holiday. I used to get it for my birthday. It was just like a lifelong love affair, I think. The idea of giving it up was just unfathomable for so long.
And what was your turning point, Celine?
Well, when I was traveling, I kept seeing more and more things that made me think about the way we as a society treat animals, and if I'm against animal cruelty, what point was I against it? Like, if it benefited my taste buds, was I prepared to turn a blind eye? And just kind of, even though I wanted to look away, becoming aware of the dairy industry, how it's the same as the meat industry. They're all killed for meat, you know, in the end. They're just exploited for their reproductive systems first.
Was there a specific incident that comes to mind?
There was one incident I remember very specifically. I was in Bali and a truck pulled up, and my partner said, oh, don't look. So of course I looked, and it was full of about 50 chickens, and half of them were already dead and half were kind of alive, and they were all, you know, their wings were broken, and it was just awful, awful to see. And this man came up and swept them onto a tray as if they were inanimate objects. And I remember being so upset at seeing the condition they were in, and how I'd never thought about the journey animals go on to be killed, and how that itself would be stressful, and trying to absolve myself by saying maybe they were meat chickens, you know, not egg chickens, because if they're for meat, then I'm not culpable. It's not my fault. So that was the kind of the last straw, really, and it combined with the fact that I was in Bali and eating amazing vegan food. So having things like creamy cheesecakes and decadent pasta dishes made me think, this wouldn't have to be a sacrifice. Mm.
Did you go cold turkey? Was it a decision? And then you were like, let's go.
Yeah.
Sorry, cold turkey. Sorry, that's unfortunate.
Cold tofu. I know, there's so many. It was actually, I was reviewing a hotel in Abu Dhabi at the time with my partner, and I left a note on the door. You know, you order your breakfast and you hang it up, and we'd ordered eggs. And that night I just went down a rabbit hole on YouTube watching documentaries, and my partner was sleeping, and I took the note in, you know, our breakfast order, tore it in half and left him a note saying, I'm vegan now. Mm-hmm. I've cancelled breakfast. You can go and eat at the buffet. It was like a little light switch moment.
I like the drama of that note. I'm vegan now.
Yeah. Nice thing for him to wake up to.
Itua, could you describe what your diet was like prior to your change?
For about a year before I went vegan, I had already started looking for like the healthiest way to eat. So I had already started to cut down on red meat.
What had propelled that decision?
My job was extremely sedentary. I wasn't doing a lot of exercise because I preferred to watch Netflix. So I thought something has to give. If I'm not doing exercise, I need to improve my diet. Mm-hmm. So I started to do research. And then my journey to veganism was actually very similar to Selena's. It was literally one weekend where I discovered a documentary called Earthlings, which led me to another documentary called Forks Over Knives, and then another one, Cowspiracy. And I watched all three of them in one go. And it was basically like scales had fallen off my eyes, and I didn't see animal products as food anymore. And the next morning, I was in a hotel at the time. I went down to the buffet and I realized that 99% of the food at the buffet contained animal products, and I had no idea what to eat. So I had baked beans and toast for 3 days.
Oh, wow.
That's literally all I was eating until I figured out what to eat.
So you both made these decisions, okay? No longer going to eat any meat or dairy products, animal-derived products. But obviously this has repercussions for those around you too. And I'm wondering, what was the reaction of your family, Itua?
Oh, wow. My family was convinced for the longest time that I had converted to Buddhism, and they were so confused. So I grew up Catholic, and my parents were completely thrown off by this decision to go vegan. And my dad actually said, if Jesus Christ ate fish in the Bible, then I'm pretty sure it's okay for me to eat fish. But then I was eventually able to convince them that it had nothing to do with religion and it was more like an ethical choice. It took a while, about a year, but they got used to it.
And what about just in terms of like attitudes towards that? Because I think being able to cook and to cook meat is an important part of being a woman, unfortunately. And I'm just wondering how people have reacted to that.
Oh, I've gotten so much unsolicited advice from people about how I will never be able to find a husband because Nigerian men love meat. And if I refuse to cook meat for my husband, he will leave me for another woman. My parents in particular, they are tolerating it now, according to them. But they think that once I get married, I will change my mind.
Celine, how has going vegan changed things for you socially?
It's changed things socially in that I have to talk about it quite a lot. Not necessarily because I want to, but because when I see friends who I haven't seen for a while, because veganism is so on the rise, they might have eaten something they were, you know, excited about, or they might be trying to eat less meat, or they watch a documentary and they want to talk about that with me. And I had to kind of accept that I'm not defined by being a vegan, but it has now become part of my identity. And also as well, just when I visit my friends, I love to cook for them and just try and introduce people to some of the foods I've learned about and I love now and I didn't know before. Mm. So just trying to have conversations with people that are not combative and just always try and remain measured, because yeah, there is the consensus that vegans are the ones who get angry, yet often it's other people who are defensive.
We are talking about veganism and why it is so much more than lentils and lettuce with Itua Ioha, who runs the online platform Eat Right Niger in Nigeria, and Celine Nelson, a journalist, author and activist based in the UK. Now, there are figures that suggest that the vast majority of vegans are women. In America, for example, 79% of them are. Why do you think that is, Celine?
I think generally, vegans weren't really seen as masculine. It was, you know, you had the idea of a skinny, malnourished person. And certainly there's the protein myth that you have to have animal protein to be big. It was just seen as a more feminine thing, you know, caring for animals and not eating huge lumps of meat. And marketing's played a massive part in that as well, the idea that eating meat and steak and all that is manly. But I would love to see in about a year's time how those stats have changed, because there was a recent documentary called The Game Changers about plant-based athletes. And when you have people like Novak Djokovic and Lewis Hamilton and these enormous guys, like bodybuilders and weightlifters breaking records, and there's been a massive rise in the last couple of months in people searching for plant-based athletes, and mainly men as well.
Itua, presumably you are in a minority there in Nigeria, but just anecdotally, how many vegans do you know, and are they mainly men or women?
Definitely in a huge minority. There's a friend of mine who organizes monthly meetup for vegans in Lagos in Nigeria. And typically out of 20 or so people who show up, maybe 10 of them are actually vegan. The rest are curious. And then out of those 10, maybe one will be a man or sometimes none. Okay. So it's definitely highly female dominated in Nigeria. And then it's also a very, very small minority. I only met another vegan, let's say about 4 months after I went vegan myself.
Okay.
So it's not a very common lifestyle choice.
Okay. Now, Celine, the vegan campaign is often characterized as a white middle class female fad. How fair an assessment is that?
I think, well, you know, in the past there were more women. The idea that it's a middle class thing or you have to have money, I think, is completely untrue, because the staples of a whole food plant based diet are things like beans and rice and pasta and potatoes. All these things are some of the cheapest things we buy. And in the supermarket, if you do eat meat, the most expensive things, bar alcohol, are probably going to be meat, fish, and cheese. Veganism is only expensive if you want to buy the artisan vegan cheeses and the sausages, and there's no need to do that at all. You can't pigeonhole vegans. We're not, you know, we're a group of millions of people from really diverse backgrounds.
And Itua, you've touched on this a little bit, but I just want to get into a little bit more into it. In terms of how people see you as a woman talking about veganism, is there an idea that you are embracing a foreign ideology? What do people say to you about that?
Definitely, I would say yes. So the thing is, as a term, veganism is not, it's not really common in the Nigerian lexicon to begin with. People are familiar with the term vegetarian. But then when you mention that you're a vegan, first you have to explain what that means. And then people make the assumption that you had borrowed that idea from outside of the country, which people are always very surprised to find out that I grew up in Nigeria. I haven't lived outside of Nigeria. The first time I spent more than a few months out of the country was when I did a master's degree just about a year ago. So people are always shocked when they find out that, oh, I'm vegan, but I haven't spent a lot of time outside Nigeria. So people see it as a foreign ideology. And part of the reason is because a lot of the content you see online, which is created by vegans online, comes from Western countries, right? You don't have a lot of African or Asian influencers who are vegan. And you don't have a lot of Nigerian, specifically cuisine, which is being marketed in that space. So people generally see it as something that's a Western idea, for sure.
Itua, do you prepare when you're going to places that you think that you might not be catered for?
Oh, definitely. I stock up before leaving the house. So I will have a meal before going to attend a wedding, for example, or going to go to a party, because I'm 90% sure that there's not going to be much I can actually eat. In general, Nigerians tend to, even if they're not serving meat in the meal, they will cook meals that are normally vegetarian with meat stock. So it's something that maybe someone who's less picky might eat, but personally I wouldn't eat. Most of the time there's not really much that I can have.
So Celine, in the UK last year, there was this case of a vegan activist wearing a pig's mask and spraying fake blood in a McDonald's fast food restaurant. Are protests like that counterproductive, or do you think that there's a need to shock people out of their habits?
On the whole, I feel it's probably counterproductive because it just gets people's backs up and people don't like to be shamed. And I don't think that's the right way of having these conversations. But at the same time, I do think it's really important for people to be able to face the reality of what happens to animals. So maybe that could be asking someone just to watch, you know, a very short video or something, mm-hmm. because the reality is that we are so disconnected from what happens. We can't even bear to watch it, let alone really, really confront it. You know, we eat in denial. And I think for some vegans, you get so upset at what happens and it's so overwhelming sometimes you just want to show people. But yeah, it's certainly not something I would ever do. And when it's in the news, it's a bit disheartening because there's so much amazing vegan activism going on and positive action.
Ittoe, what's the best way for bringing people on side?
So I see where the activists are coming from when there's these shocking demonstrations where they're trying to force people to pay attention. But like Celine said, I think it really engenders a sense of defensiveness that's not really conducive to persuading someone to change their mind. So I think part of it is really looking for what is the individual's interest at that point in time and speaking to that. So when I first went vegan, I was so desperate to convince everyone around me to go vegan as well. I sent long emails to all of my friends, sending them links to documentaries to watch and so on, which were completely ignored because nobody likes to be preached at. Mm-hmm. So I eventually realized that everyone has a different starting point. Mm-hmm. There's some people for whom the environmental impact of animal agriculture is more important. Some people would care more about the ethical aspect or animal cruelty aspect. And some people really just care about the health aspect. And that's fine. I think if we just make the assumption that everyone will care about animal cruelty to the same extent, that's not going to be true. And that's not going to be a convincing or compelling argument for a lot of people. What I've found in my advocacy is that, at least in Nigeria, most people respond more strongly to the health argument than to things about animal cruelty, to which they have no response at all because they've grown up with animals being slaughtered in their backyard and they just don't see it as an issue.
Okay, so you just have to adjust according to your audience. Okay. Now, Celine, the idea of giving up meat entirely might be too big a step for some. So would you encourage eating less of it, or is it about no meat at all?
I think certainly initially cutting down could be a good way to start. And also it depends what your reasoning is. If it's just about health, then yes, cutting down is going to be helpful. But if you're kind of factoring in everything, so, you know, health, animals, the environment, doing it less is better than doing it more or doing it the same, but it's not as good as not doing it at all. But initially, definitely, I think it would be a good first step if the idea of going full vegan is too overwhelming.
All right. If someone were considering becoming a vegan, what advice would you have for them, Ittoe?
So I guess the first thing I would advise is just be very clear on what your reasons are. Mm-hmm. It can be quite difficult, especially being in a minority. The responses that you will get from people, sometimes it will be difficult to find tasty vegan food. It's not always available. And it's very easy to just go back to what you were doing before. So it's good to know exactly why you're doing it and to always have that reason at the back of your mind. The second piece of advice would be to make a plan. Right. So when I went vegan cold turkey, for the lack of a better phrase. And the next day I was completely clueless about what to eat because I hadn't really made a plan. Right. I knew I wasn't going to eat animal products, but I didn't know what I was going to eat instead. So it's good to kind of plan what groceries you're going to buy, what kinds of meals you're going to eat, look up recipes so you can preempt those cravings for the kinds of foods that you're used to eating by having vegan options around you.
Celine, what would you say to someone who's vegan curious?
I think I would agree in that actually educating yourself and having the reasoning is the most important thing, because for me, it only felt like something I wouldn't want to do or a hard thing when I didn't have the motivation behind me. And doing the research into, you know, animals and the environment and health gave me such a strong sense of conviction. So there weren't really weak moments at all, to be honest, which is something I never thought. You know, I always thought I would crave cheese, and I never did, because I had the conviction in my mind that it wasn't the right thing for me to do and me to eat. So take the time to educate yourself on all the three different areas of veganism. And also, yeah, do things like watch cooking tutorials, just allowing yourself to get excited about the changes and cooking in a new way, because it's such a positive thing. And that's something I didn't know. And I hope people, if they are thinking about it, you know, it should be something you feel positive about, not something that's a sacrifice or a drag.
Celine and Etua, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was great. Really interesting. I'm feeling inspired. So thank you both. My guests today were Celine Nelson, a British-American journalist and activist, and Etua Iyoha from Nigeria. Thanks for listening. I'm Kim Chakaneta. Back again next week.
The Compass is the podcast from the BBC World Service that really gets under the skin of a story.
I can tell you what I believe is not the truth, and you know it's not the truth, and I'll get away with it. So I will tell a lie.
With series that take an in-depth look at how the world today really works.
Sometimes I think that we are moving into the right direction and change is happening. And then I realize that 9 to 10 women get killed every day in this country. So I don't feel we're moving forward at all.
And why things are the way they are.
I have been socialized to be a soldier, to be someone aggressive, and even to dominate, especially women or other people. So I have this kind of fear that, what if I one day become a violent person?
The Compass Podcast from the BBC World Service.
She shamed the politicians into taking an interest in it.
Search for The Compass wherever you get your podcasts.